Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, and we continue this week with our Trends Day Wednesday series, focusing on some things that we're seeing develop, and a focus this week on college football, the first real full weekend of college football, a lot of games here across the weekend, and definitely some things that we started to see maybe consistently across some different teams and things that may develop into some trends here in 2019. And joining us on the podcast is former NFL coach and CEO and founder of First Down Playbook, Charlie Coyner. Charlie, always great to talk ball.
Hey, Keith, great to be here.
And then our coordinator of coach content at USA Football and an analyst himself, Zach Dunn. Zach, great to have you here this year.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. So some things we're starting to see. One of the things that stuck out to me immediately and kind of goes to a lot of things we saw in trending this offseason as far as clinic talks and articles and some even stuff that we produced here at USA Football, the use of unbalanced. Nothing new to football, but it seems to be making a resurgence here as we look at some of the different ways I think teams are utilizing that extra man to create some problems for defensive fronts and for run fits.
Exactly, Keith. That is something that's jumped out at me watching really all levels of football. And, you know, we've always, like you just said, we always had to be ready for an unbalanced or heavy formation. But there's so many different ways that you can get into it. And it looks to me like it's part of the base package now for most offenses. And everybody has a different terminology for it. But, you know, I've always called it unbalanced or heavy unbalanced where you had a four-man surface, meaning you either had two tight ends or two tackles to one side of the center or the other, and then just a normal over imbalance to where, you know, you may have a receiver covering up another. And the thing that I think that shows up as much as anything is that it is forcing defenses to communicate in the front and the back end as far as not only who's eligible, but, you know, how you're going to fit your gaps. How are you going to defend all these things? And now it's not only the unbalanced formations that you're trying to fit up with defenses. Now you've got all the different types of offenses that are showing up that are incorporating your quarterback and spreading the whole 53 yards of the football field width-wise. It's a bear right now if you're a defense coordinator.
Yeah, Keith, just to piggyback on what some of Charlie was saying, you know, just like empty checks, defenses usually only carry a few unbalanced checks into a game, really probably no more than two. So I think teams, you know, some of these offenses are starting to get to their unbalanced looks to get predictable looks and to see what they're getting. And, you know, it's pretty hard on the defense to sit back and practice unbalanced looks or tackle overlooks a lot. So offenses are starting to get into those like they would to empty to get simple, easy checks. You know, just as it makes the job easier on the OC and the quarterback to know what he wants. I mean, you know, I can't think of how many different ways you can really play unbalanced or tackle over, but I think another reason teams are going to this is because of the tight front. These teams playing these zeros and four eyes with the, you know, with the backers sitting in the B gaps, it's making it easier for teams to pin everything inside now and catch the edge, put the ball on the edge, and where you can pin everybody down.
Yeah, and I think of kind of the way I'm seeing it is more of, at least right now, the tight end over and getting four receivers on a side. Now, one of them's going to get covered up, but it's still, you know, in particular to the plays from this past weekend, I'm thinking of Notre Dame did it, and they have trips out to the right, just bring the tight end over to the right, and they were against a tight front. We'll talk about the play they used here in a second. Saw Ohio State do the same thing for their first touchdown. And whether this is a trend we're going to see maybe to combat some of that tight front, I know we had Coach Matt Drinkel from Army on this year talking about the ways he liked to do it. And he likes getting those three-man surfaces, which is essentially what we saw Notre Dame take advantage of. They, again, got the tight end over to the one side with the trips receivers, spread that thing out, and then hit the ball. I'm really having some extra blockers. We saw that Louisville essentially committed too many guys to the short side of the field. And what's interesting, one of the things we saw this past season, we had a couple good articles on the Memphis run game, is they're just using that G scheme, or, you know, wing T teams like to call it the down play. You know, Tubby Raymond and his offense had it as 182 down, where you're going to get the down block from the two outside blockers. So the tight end and the tackle and the front side guard is going to pull and kick out the end. And it's just a little slant play there for the running back. So that's what I saw Notre Dame do. I do think that's a scheme we're going to see more and more, because when you think about it against the tight front, you know, that guy pulling out to whoever the overhang player is going to be there and then being able to wall off that inside, I think you have a really nice play, because the backside is just going to scoop or essentially zone block up the nose to the backside backer. So it'd be interesting to see how much we see that used this year. But, Zach, I know that was one of the focus of our articles with the Memphis run game, and you identified the tie there with Chip Long coming from Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, one thing I heard Dave Aranda speak on this past offseason was about getting out of that tight front and out of that odd front and more into a under to combat this G scheme or pin and pull, because if you just play a 4-I and a 0, you're going to get washed down easily. So, you know, he'd rather put a shade over there and a 5 to give more – just to give more presence on that front side than, you know, than a 0 and a 4-I and just getting washed down.
The other thing, Keith, that while we're on it, sorry to butt in there, but, you know, the some of the other plays that we worked on earlier today, you're looking at, we all saw within the last 3 or 4 years how defenses just became infatuated with quarters, Narducci and it spread from there to everywhere. And obviously there's a heavy quarters element in the NFL too. But, you know, we just sat there and watched a little bit earlier today. You know, we watched Houston line up in quarters against Oklahoma. You know, the quarter safeties were just running. They might have been on the track team. I mean, they were running everywhere and never getting involved in the play. And I look at, you know, what we've seen here with the unbalanced stuff. You know, you got to be able to fit it up and understand where you're supposed to be, whether you're in the 404 front, bear front, 3-4, whatever. And if your safeties don't recognize, if you're trying to play quarters and they don't recognize what's going on as far as the heavy alignment by the offense or the unbalanced or whatever, I mean, you're going to lose two of your run fits right there if they're not getting where they need to be against these unbalanced formations.
I think what we see is some answers, really. I know a lot of teams worked on how are we going to defeat the tight front, because it has become popular. It was all the rage this offseason, everybody clinicking about that, talking about it. We've had a number of episodes on this podcast, ran a number of articles. I think the other thing we're seeing a lot more of, at least it feels like here early season, is a lot more sprint out pass. Now, we have some dynamic quarterbacks, but again, when you think of making it a little bit easier on the offense to be able to get that edge, because there's not a 5 technique out there, he's inside in a 4-I, it seems like pretty easy pickings there to go ahead and sprint out and get that quarterback out on the edge and, you know, still run some of those same concepts you might in your dropback game, whether that might be smash. I've seen a lot of the snag concept here, which kind of runs almost a pick for that guy run into the flat and, you know, end up with a smash concept out there. So at least, you know, and the other thing we talked about, Charlie, and you pointed out, is that sprint draw. And we saw sprint draw a couple times this weekend. So if you are seeing a lot more sprint out, I think by the nature of it, you're going to start to see some sprint draw as well. And I think those are couple things to track on here as we look at how these develop into some trends in 2019.
It's going to be interesting. And please, you know, I think anybody out there is listening on the defensive side of the ball, there's no question offenses have a whole year to, you know, come up with all their that first week stuff. And in fact, you know, they came out as vanilla as you could. Jim Chaney's a good offensive coordinator, as you're going to find in the country. Came out very vanilla. Well, it didn't work out, period, for them. They lost to Georgia State. But at the same time, there will be a lot of adjustments by the defense, you know, and offenses have to show what they have that first week. I mean, sure, I'm not that Riley is going to be short on plays this year at Oklahoma, but at the same time, you start getting an idea of what they're thinking on defense too, and you understand that maybe you better get a safety down in that box a little quicker if you know, and try to make sure that the quarterback's going to beat you, you know, with his arms. And I think we'll see a lot more of that as the season goes on. I don't think we'll see offenses running up and down the field on the ground all year. I think at some point the defense coordinators will say enough. Now, we might see bombs away, but it'll be interesting.
I know, Zach, the thing we didn't mention when we were talking about unbalance is you saw a really nice use of the bash concept. I had mentioned it as we were talking about some plays we saw in the unbalance. The bash concept back away with Justin Fields keeping that for his first touchdown as a Buckeye.
Yeah, so Ohio State was one of the first plays of the game that they ran. They ran a unbalanced set to the right with the back off set to the left, and they ran one of those bash concepts where they read the 4-eye to the field, 4-eye or 5, I can't tell without an end zone shot. But they read him and ran bash back towards the boundary where pretty much, I mean, that whole scheme was developed, with my understanding, back at Florida when Tim Tebow and Percy Harvin were there, because Tebow was a better inside runner and Harvin was a better outside runner. So kind of flip the whole zone read scheme. But, you know, it might be the same thing here at Ohio State with Fields. You know, he's a real big guy, so you might see more of that at Ohio State this year. But, yeah, they ran a unbalanced bash concept, which you saw a lot of last year with Nebraska. Nebraska last year was a lot of unbalanced, a lot of bash, and really gave defenses a lot of fits. Because, like I was saying earlier, you know, unbalanced, you don't have a whole lot of checks. You're not really used to setting it up a lot. It's not something that you spend a lot of time on during fall camp or during spring ball. So it really puts a horn on the defense there.
Again, just looking at trends and things that I saw maybe consistently across a couple teams, 11 personnel. I think we've seen that more and more, especially with the tight end off the ball. From a 2x2 set, I saw a few times throughout the course of this weekend, the inside zone with that tight end running a flat and the outside receiver running a slant. So an RPO with a slant flat as your combination for it. And you think, again, if the answer becomes a lot of match coverage, a lot of man coverage, the slant flat is a pretty decent answer to those guys who get manned up and, you know, putting a defender in conflict with the run pass option there. So I think I saw Houston, Oklahoma, maybe Auburn might have done that as well. Can't remember exactly who the third team was that I saw. But again, I think as teams, they're not going to get away from RPO. They're just going to find some answers for those man situations.
I think that's exactly what I was saying earlier, Keith. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I've had experience on both sides of the ball, and I'll just be bluntly honest. As the RPO thing has continued on, it's been interesting to me how people, you know, on defense have not just decided to drop down and lock up. Now, you know, the talent of your quarterback throwing is obviously a big part of that. But and I know the screen game, you know, I asked some people down in Florida this summer, I'm like, well, what are you doing when people just drop down and man up? And one of the first answers everybody talked about in high school down there was like, we get right to our screen game, you know, try to get the ball out in space. And so I think we're about to find out, because once again, I don't think that defenses can sit back there and play quarters or halves or whatever they're calling themselves playing. I mean, if they are the safeties, they might as well take a break, because I don't see very many of them getting involved in the plays.
Yeah, I saw one that we didn't talk about today or haven't talked about yet, but there was a play that Oklahoma ran this past weekend against Houston where they ran GT counter, where they didn't block the defensive end, the backside DN, and they read him, but they ran like a tunnel screen to that side. So it's a run pass option, and now they're catching screens to him. I thought that was pretty cool. I haven't seen that before.
I think the other thing we see early season is maybe some plays that were designed to do something else, but you find some things that work against a certain defense or with a certain combination. And Zach, you saw one of those with Oklahoma.
Yeah, so Oklahoma, again, ran their RPO GT counter against Houston. But what happened was, it's a coverage read where they're reading to see if the safety's slingshot or if they rotate towards the jet motion or the orbit motion. What happened was, Jalen Hurts was kind of indecisive. He didn't know what to do, so he didn't do either. So he didn't throw the RPO or he didn't give the GT counter. But what he ended up doing was, he ended up following the tailback back through the hole on the counter. So it turned into like a quarterback load counter, where it actually turned into like a 12-yard gain. So it wasn't designed at all. It was really a busted play, but it's something that I'm sure that Oklahoma's going to look at when they review the tape and say, hey, that's something we could actually put in. I mean, low counter is always nice because you always get three blockers in and not two. I mean, you're bringing three to the front side. But I think that was a really good example of teams screwing a play up, but actually gives them an idea for a future play. You know, maybe that's something they might want to add.
You know, the other play I saw, Zach, kind of along the same lines, I'm not sure. Again, was it designed this way? Was it a mistake? But it actually got a guy open. And you see a lot of teams, when they get down to the end zone and it gets tight, they'll play, you know, lanes coverage or, you know, some call it picket fence. But the whole idea is they're defending from the front of the end zone to the back of the end zone, and every defender has basically a lane there. So the idea is if someone comes in that lane, you're going to take him. Now, the way to defeat that is essentially to get two guys in a lane. And so Oregon has a guy. They get a guy open. They don't complete it. But what they did is ran two guys to the flat and then brought a third guy out there late and essentially kind of took the whole defense to that side short and then ran a guy behind. Now, I thought the way that they freed that up a little bit is they ran play action away from that, away from where they were running those flats across the goal line. They ran play action and ran a naked around the other way and had the guy open in the back of the end zone. They just misfired on the throw. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, I like, and you think of other things that work down there, I like, you know, the snag concept down there where you can use that front side guy as a pick, run a guy across the goal line, and then work a guy to the corner. So if you do see that kind of coverage, you got two guys in that lane, and that defender has to make a decision on one. But maybe it was one of those things that worked out. It's an idea, I think, against the lanes coverage there.
Keith, I saw that same play, and no, I think you're exactly right, though. I believe they were picking on one person, and they may not have known who that person was going to be. It was going to be the inside backer where they ran the run at, or the backside safety to that same side. But yeah, I mean, this is all, everything you're describing happened into the boundary, too, if I remember right. I think they knew that you're not going to come screaming out of there. You're going to have to pull up, and they actually took the point of the bunch. Little guy, I mean, he wasn't a tight end type, but, you know, he got just enough of that defensive end to let the quarterback actually set his feet. So it was more like a sprint pass setup where he knew that guy was going to be back there. Yeah, he should have called it. It should have been a touchdown.
Well, guys, some more trends. Again, it'll be interesting to see how these develop as the season goes on, as we get more data and we're able to analyze things a little bit more. But, again, today, just recapping, we saw the use of the unbalanced or the tight end over. Looks like teams are using it against the tight front. We're seeing sprint out, the sprint draw, and variations of some of those screen RPO combos we saw in All 22 Tuesday. We talked about one of those. Be sure to check that video out where we saw the flat screen used again, or that slide screen where somebody's coming into the flat and those receivers are running the stem and then turning into blockers. So it'll be interesting to see how these trends start to develop as we're able to look at more and more games. Be sure to check out all we're doing. Zach will have the video of these up in our show notes. That's at blogs.usafootball.com, as well as having articles on some of these different concepts we're seeing throughout the week. And you can check out First Down Playbook, blogs.firstdownplaybook.com, as well as the Twitter handles for @FBDEVcoach for USA Football coaching content. And for First Down Playbook, it's @FDPlaybook. A lot of great content there. Not necessarily things we're saying you need to use in your offense, but as you see some of these problems, I think you'll be able to get some ideas here that will help you construct your game plan to take on some of these situations. So, Charlie, thank you for joining us again. And, Zach, you as well. I look forward to talking to both of you guys next week.
Oh, too. And I'm going to make an admission of mine this week to try to look and see what defenses are doing to answer some of this. And we've got Texas A&M, Clemson coming up, and a couple other big games. So this ought to be an interesting week to look and see how defense is answered.
Definitely, Keith. Can't wait for the NFL to start on Thursday night.
Again, check out everything we're doing this season. We have a lot of content for you at @FBDEVcoach on Twitter, blogs.usafootball.com. And be sure to check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.